A life that is so full of hope. Now, hope is our journey today, the hope journey. But not just for today, because of the scripture I'm going to be reading, but every day of our life focuses around hope for that day and the tomorrow to come, for that day and the people that are going to be around us, the ones we love so dearly. You see, mom, dad, grandma, granddad, you need to have enough hope that your hope bucket is going to spill over so that the children and the grandchildren can be blessed through your hope. You see, God has given each of us that special, special calling, that special, special touch that only your type of personality is going to be able to deliver. That's why you're special. You are created special in the eyes of God, to where you are able, through your particular personality, to give hope to those that God will lead you before. Every individual is as important to God, our Creator, as anyone else. See, it's through hope where a promise lies. I know in the hope of God's Word, I've read it, and I know that God in His Word always gives us hope. It doesn't matter how much illness. It doesn't matter the situation in a nation, in a family, in that family being in that community, in the church, where there is hope. That hope always conquers that which is evil. You and I, on our journey to the cross, looking for that hope, need to understand this, that it is Christ that put the hope in your heart to have you take the journey. Amen. We are always led by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And He always leads us out of love. Oh, I give up on myself. I quit on myself. You know, oh, why, Lord, is this happening to me? Why? Everything that goes on in your life is for the good, your good, and for the betterment of those that are around you. When they're watching you to see how you handle it. You know, it's always easy to handle good news. It's always easy when things are going great. It's easy to praise God when everything is wonderful. But folks, the key to love, the key to hope, is when all hell breaks loose in your life and in the lives of those you so dearly love, that you say, praise God, victory's on the way. Amen. You see, that is the hope. Promise of today, hope for tomorrow. It is all in who Jesus is. Now, we know from Scripture that God has spoken from Genesis all the way through what we call the Old Testament about a Messiah to come, a Savior to come. And all of those of the Old Testament, they will be in heaven right beside you and me because they believed in the coming Messiah. You and I are saved because we believe that the Messiah has come and is coming back again. It all had to do with in whom we believe. All believing in the coming Messiah, whether they knew the name or not. Folks, listen, it is always in the name of Jesus. But Jesus was known in the spirit realm of the heart of the prophets of old. They did not call Him Jesus. He spoke to their heart, Brother Randy. He spoke to their heart and they believed. Believing in a Savior that's going to come and a Savior that has come and is coming again. Amen. That believing for all of humanity is what makes the difference between lost and saved. It is in who you believe, not how you say you believe in him. It is in the love that Christ has touched you with his own hand, with his own heart. Well, you have the heart for Christ. You can only have the heart for Christ when Christ gives you his heart. That's the hope that I have. The hope that I have for those I love. The hope that I have for those I don't even know. And the hope that I have for the world is in that word called love. Now, let me read something to you. So we'll get off on the in the right step this morning. As we're looking for that hope journey, the King is coming. I want you to listen to this. In the Holy Scriptures, the birth of Jesus, his first advent or coming, advent simply means the coming, is eclipsed only by his second coming or advent. His second advent or his second coming. Now listen to the script, or listen to the history on this. The second coming of Jesus Christ is the greatest single theme in Scripture. While there are approximately 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that foretold the first coming of Jesus, there are more than 8 times as many verses describing his second coming. In total, some 2,400 verses throughout the Old and New Testament reveal God's promises about the return of Jesus Christ. Now think of that. The whole focus from the beginning of time has always been on the second coming of Jesus. I have created all that exists. I, God, am going to come down and I'm going to walk on earth that I created to be among the children that I created. And I'm going to do it in human form, for I am going to be incarnate in my Son Jesus. God with us. Jesus. A babe in a manger, a king of all ages, the Son of Almighty God, and God is within him, and God is directing him. Why? For you and me, so that you and I would have hope. No matter what the circumstances, he said, I want you to have hope. So I have to feel your pain. I have to feel your emptiness. I have to feel how you feel. See how you see. Understand how you understand. In order for me to be all the fullness in you. That's love. Amen. That's hope. That's a journey worth taking. The journey to the cross. For it is at that cross where you will find peace. Do I believe in the second coming of Jesus? Well, sure. Do I believe in the first coming? Sure. Do I believe all that the Bible says? Sure. Do I believe God cares for me? Sure. Do I see hope for tomorrow? Sure. I see hope for tomorrow if there's no tomorrow. Here, I got it made. Christian, you got it made. What are you worried about? You have in you the greatest hope that exists, the hope of the love of Jesus Christ. That hope is a part of who you are now. Different personalities, different wants, different desires, different needs. But all in the name of Jesus. What a blessing of love, the hope candle. Well, before Jesus was born, the prophets proclaimed his coming. And though for those of us today, we will sit back and we'll say, you know, I can't believe those people didn't pay attention. Well, look at this. I got the scriptures here, and I can see Jesus in all of these pages. What's the matter with those people? And then yet, we have so many today that say, well, no, I don't believe in the second coming like you're preaching or like you're talking about. Well, how do you believe in it? Well, and you know, there's going to be a great human leader that's going to go. No, dude, that's an antichrist. What's the matter with you? Let me tell you, I'm talking about the same Jesus that was talked about in Genesis. It's the same Jesus that's coming back when the time is right. Amen. The same Jesus that was born in a manger in Bethlehem. It's the same Jesus that was born in your heart when you said yes to him. When you said, I believe. And Jesus says, I believe, Father, that Randy is a new brother. Paula is a new sister. And Jesus just goes down the line. You see, whether you believe in yourself or not, I want you to know this as a fact. Jesus Christ, your Savior, believes in you. Whether you believe that you can do it or not, Jesus knows you can. For he says, I am in you. There's nothing that can separate you from me, says Jesus. That's hope. I don't understand tomorrow. I don't understand sickness. I don't like it. I don't like the pain. But you see, I have hope. Better day is coming. Already has. Worst day may be tomorrow. But it'll get better no matter what the situation. Because that hope journey says the King is coming. But for me and you, the King is here. He's within you. You have the power to move mountains. You have the power to watch any Goliath that gets in your way be moved, not by your strength, but through the hope that is in you. The hope is coming. The prophets proclaim the King is coming. Jesus, the King of the new covenant. A new covenant I'm going to give you. Why? Because you broke the first one I gave you, I'm giving you a new one. I'm going to get closer to you. Yeah, I trusted you. I'm giving you a new covenant now. I'm going to come within, and I'm going to bless you with a love that you can't understand. I'm going to make you beautiful on the inside. I'm going to touch your life. And in so doing, I will touch your heart. And in so doing, I will touch a world that doesn't know me. And in so doing, there's going to be revival going on. And there is going to be a great awakening. Jesus says, I've come to wake you up, not put you to sleep. I've come to bring excitement into your life. A hope of tomorrow. A hope of power for today. To get through this day. But I have come that you might have peace so great that you won't understand it. You will find peace in the pain of life. You will find peace in the hurt and brokenness of life. You're standing there. You see brokenness all around. You see the broken hearts. You want to put them together. And then all of a sudden you realize you have that hope. Why? Because it is love in you that gave you that feeling. When you got the love, you got the power. When you got the power, Satan is wise enough to get out of your way. Trust me. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. Listen to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. You know, let me remind you again, you know why he was classified as a weeping prophet? You try preaching for 26 to 28 years without a convert. You're preaching, and it seems like the word falls on deaf ears of the very people that God loved. And he would weep over Israel. He would weep over God's chosen because they would not grasp that love, that hope. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Jesus says, here is my commandment. Jesus says, my commandment is summed up in one word, love. That's what I'm going to place in their heart. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. That day has come. It came with a baby in a manger. Jesus came to place his love in the heart of man. And for whoever believes in his name shall never perish, but have everlasting life. For those who believe, there is hope. For those who have hope, there is victory. For those who are victorious, there's always another soul that needs winning. The winning of the souls is not in the power of the preaching. It's in the power of the word that is preached. It is in the conviction of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. God said, I'll choose the foolishness of preaching. Foolishness to the world, salvation to the hearer who believes. I have chosen this. So it will not be of man. It will be by the power of the Holy Spirit of God himself. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's a purpose for Jesus. Through love, he showed us the hope, and he showed us the strength that you and I are going to need for the rest of the day and for the tomorrow. No matter what happens on the tomorrow, he says, I've come to bring that peace. Jesus would end up being the cornerstone of the Christian life. Many have tried to replace the name of Jesus. Really? Yes. Many in the church have tried to replace the name of Jesus. What's the name? Good works. with the name of memorizing more, with the name of I know what the Bible says. Many people will use the Bible as a means not to believe in Jesus. Sad, but it's true. The believing in Jesus Christ, the words of this Bible, they are the holy words of God. This Bible doesn't just contain the Word of God, it is the Word of God. It's the breath of God. It's the face of God. But God says, don't you dare worship this book over me. And there's many that will. Oh, preacher, that's blasphemy. No. For you to deny Christ and say you know so much about this book called the Bible, that's blasphemy. For you to deny the power of the words that's in here. So think of it. My friends, it's in the person that you know. His name is Jesus. It's in the love that you have received. It's from God. And the victory that is guaranteed you. 1 Peter 2, verses 6 through 8. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion. That's in Isaiah 28. A chosen and a precious stone. And the one who trusts in him, told you, the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You will never be shamed by Christ in whom you trust. If the world spit at you, kick you down, threaten all manner of evil against you, lift your head in excitement, for truly salvation has come to that house. Now, to you who believe, listen to this. This stone is precious. Jesus referred to it here metaphorically as a rock, as a stone, the most solid of all that would exist. No aging, the solid stone. This stone that I give you, he's my son. Now you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected had become the capstone. Remember me telling you time and time again all of these years? Not one religious leader of the day showed up for the birth of Jesus. And they were bragging about how they knew the book, how they knew the laws of the prophets. They bragged about how much they knew, but they didn't know Jesus. They didn't have the Spirit of Christ guiding them. Almighty God from heaven showing a light. Follow the light, God's light. They didn't even show up. What were they missing? Love. You see, they missed the voice of God. How did they crowd it out with things of the world? What crowd you out today when you know that the Lord is telling you no, 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 no? And the world is saying, yes, 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 yes. Tell me who you give in to the most. Tell me, do you give in to the personalities around you or to the personality that made you who you are? Jesus says, I'm coming, that precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builder rejected has become the capstone and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Now, listen to what that means. Do you mean that person had no choice because it was their destiny to reject? That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying for the person who rejects, this is your destiny. The rock's going to pulverize you when it falls on you. That rock, I've given you my word so many times, you can't walk a daily path in life without tripping over the rock of the word of God. God says, I've given you all. And all I've given you, I ask for you to love one another as I have loved you. What a message. The prophet then painted that very gruesome physical picture of the person of Jesus. Now, despite all the argument back and forth with these people, that I have a lot of trouble with some of these scholars who want to bring Jesus away from the spiritual light to just the human, I think, life. I don't do that. It's not, Jesus isn't who I think. Jesus is who he is. And it doesn't matter what I think. I just know I believe him and in him. And through him, I'm given all things. Isaiah 53:2-3. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, Jesus did. And like a root out of dry ground, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. We didn't stand up for him, in other words. We did not lift him up to where he was. The people of the day or the people of this day, to lift Christ up is to say that we stand him up. You and I need to understand something. God Almighty, the Father of us all, has raised Jesus above all else, and we are to look to him who is above all that exists, and we are to acknowledge who he is, and we are children of his. We are the church. So let's represent the Christ who is the head of the church. Not priests, not preachers. Christ is the head of the church. Who's the head of the physical life? Christ. Who's the love of your life that'll love you more than a mama and daddy will ever? Jesus. For he sees you, and you are his. And Jesus will always acknowledge you. Listen to me, Christian. Jesus will never turn his back on you. Even though you have been beaten and hung on a cross and beaten so severely that you didn't even appear to be human on that cross. If that were to happen to you, let me tell you something. Jesus would be the one picking you up. He would be the one that would look at those who did it and go, and Satan himself knows better. But it is in the hope that he has instilled in each of us. Don't ever forget that hope. The prophet said, now let's read Psalm 69, verses 7 and 8. For I endure scorn for your sake. Shame. Actually, you would insert, you is understood on this one. Your shame. Jesus had no shame. He took mine, he took yours for your sake. And shame covers my face. Your shame, my shame, covered his face. I am a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my own mother's son. Not one of Jesus's half-brothers believed in him until after the resurrection. Sort of hard to deny after that, wasn't it, Randy? I saw him on the cross. I see him now. He's so beautiful, so radiant. The light glows, the light of God. When the light of God glows on Jesus, as it continually does, the light of Jesus glows in you. He's not going to have any trouble spotting you or finding you. You're going to glow. He knows exactly where you are because you are glowing. The prophet said that Jesus would protect his children like a shepherd protects his sheep. Isaiah 40, verse 11, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. That's my God. That's my Savior. That's the hope of all creation. That's true life. Not only true life, that's true living. When you truly live in Christ, you are truly living. That's the word of God, and it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we praise your name, giving you thanks, Father, for life, for truth, for hope, for the love in which you have loved us. Touch us now, Father, that we may go out this week touching the lives of others. Allow your will to be our will. Let your peace be so much part of us, Father, that we can share that peace with those who are troubled and trialed. We ask the blessing now, Father, upon this day and upon each one of the flock that you have given me, Father. I pray that you will watch over them this week, protect them in travel, be with their families, touch their life, Father. And yes, we pray for the healing of the sick, those that are hurting and those in despair. We lift them up to you, Father, and allow us to be your witness as we go to share your love in the human fashion with the spirit of your son, Jesus. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.